this and say, this is Jan Blodgett on September 21st, 2016 with Ron Potts at his home in Cornelius, North Carolina. So let's start by just tell me about your family, where your parents were from.
Okay.
We'll start there and we'll get you born and move forward.
Okay. In Cornelius, but again, I still call it Smithville. And so I was born here nearly 70 years ago. I was toward the last of my mother and father's children. There was 8 children born, 6 survived. And there was a gap between me and my next oldest. So it was almost like we were, my sister and I were a second family. So, you know, I grew up in the family with my mom and dad and my older brothers and sisters. Interesting enough, I started first grade when my oldest brother started college. So it was like he and my brothers and sisters were my parents. But anyway, we grew up in a close close home.
So tell me a bit about Smithfield, because now, I mean, the neighborhood exists, but was this more of a farming community, or was it coalesced around the school? How did Smithfield get to be a neighborhood?
Okay.
That you know.
Okay. Well, from what I know, now, in terms of it being a farming neighborhood, not specifically for selling. You know, maybe...
people had gardens.
Right, people had gardens. In fact, my house sits on the garden to this house.
Oh, okay.
Right here. And so everybody had gardens, but it was for their families primarily. But it grew up now, and I really got some of this from Anytown.
Oh yeah, the Cornelius history.
Right.
A town by any other name?
A town, yeah. Right. And in that, now I can trace my relatives back to about 1860.
Okay. Living in this...
Living right in this area. The person who raised my mother and father, I know he was born in 1860, and I knew him.
Okay.
And so this community, according to the book, was settled by released slaves. And the property was sold to them by a Mr. Smith. And I think he's the quote from the Potts family.
Okay.
With Marion.
Marion Potts, okay, yeah.
Marion Potts' family. He sold the property to the newly released slaves. And so that was in the 1800s, late 1800s. And so my mother was born here in 1910, my dad in 1912, right, you know, right here in the community, as a lot of other people. And a lot of the residents are all descendants of someone else from the community. Some people have never left. They've never left.
Did the house stayed in the same family, or because this is a newer house, but did you live in the house that maybe your parents grew up, one of your parents grew up in, or how did houses change hands?
Well, now, the actual settlement, and I'll show you around. I'll just take you on a tour of the community too. But there's kind of a circle of the original homes. And yeah, they've just been kind of passed down to family. Now this is a family home. My daddy's sisters built this home in the 50s. And but yeah, I could say all the other homes are now there's some homes that are being rented. And this development, this part of it down here,
so the Smithville Street that goes
right. That was, for example, that was built in the 70s, I believe. And that's been the last new development in the area. Now, there's another section on the other side of Catawba, and it was built in the 60s.
Okay.
But, you know, there's an old Rosenwald school over, you know, that most of the kids, you know, everybody went
to. So is that where you went to school?
No, I you know what? No. Actually, it closed.
Okay.
It closed the year before I started school.
Okay. So some of your siblings went?
Yeah, my older brothers and sisters, and my parents all went to the Smithfield Rosenwald School. And so, and I think the records show, you know, so let me think about that, that it opened in somewhere in the 20s. I'm not sure. I may have something on that in here someplace, but that it opened sometime in the 20s, because I know my mother went there, and she was born in 1910, as I said.
Yeah, and I think that's the right time frame.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So where did you go to school?
No, I went to Ada Jenkins.
Okay. So how did you get there? Because your siblings would have walked. So.
Right. So I was bused there.
Yeah, one of the school, was it one of the students? I've talked to David Beatty, who, as a Torrance Lytle student, drove the bus. And picked the students up. Did you that?
Okay. Right, I did too.
So how old were you when you were rode the school bus?
16.
That's what he was, yeah.
Yeah, 16, driving the bus. And I'm not going to talk about my history as a bus driver.
That's
not going to be a part of the documentation.
That's perfectly understandable. So when you went to Ada Jenkins, what grades were there? You started
first to eighth.
Okay.
First to eighth was at Ada Jenkins.
Any teachers you remember?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. You know, in the black community, I don't know, but in the black community, the teachers were like gods, you know. And so my first grade teacher was Miss Diamond. My brothers and sisters all had Miss Diamond over here. And so Miss Diamond was one of the teachers that came from
the
Rosenwald School and went to Ada Jenkins. The other was the principal up there, who was Mr. J.O. Harris.
Oh, yeah.
And he ruled with an iron fist, but everybody respected him.
Yeah, I've heard stories of people that if you acted up in school, your parents knew before you got
absolutely
home,
absolutely. And then you got a punishment. You got a spanking at school, and you got another one at home because the teachers could not do any wrong.
Did they ever come to dinner? Did you ever have Sunday dinners either with ministers or
most often with ministers? Most of the teachers, except now there were two in Davidson. Mm-hmm. Miss Balkum and Miss Brown lived in the community, but all the other teachers lived in Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
And they commuted here on old 115.
When it was the main highway.
Right.
When 115 was the way you came and went.
When it was the main highway, correct. Mm-hmm. Right. But they still felt like part of the family because my teachers all knew my brothers and sisters, which was not always, a plus.
Yeah.
Thus the reason, perhaps, that I got all those accolades in the book, because my oldest brother, you know, had preceded me.
Oh. Right. Well, it's nice to have one. I had a sister who sometimes got me in trouble. So how big were the classes?
Maybe about 30 students.
Okay.
30,
so
35.
So that's quite a few students coming around, I mean, to fill the Ada Jenkins school.
Well, Ada Jenkins, well, so, you know, it's also, you know, what we considered the rural community, too. We did not consider ourselves rural.
Right. Your neighbors, you know.
Right, yeah. But, the, you know, it included the rural communities, which are now Deton. The peninsula. Those were all, you know, that was true country when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. Before the lake.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Even so when I got here in 1994, there was not much at exit 20. There was nothing at exit 25,
right.
Exit 28.
Right.
But yeah, by right. the but yeah, but in the 50s, 60s,
right.
70s, there was nothing.
Absolutely, there was nothing. So it was a lot of farmland and things like that. And so a lot of students came from those areas. And of course, they went all the way as far as almost to Cabarrus County.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with students feeding into the school.
Because I talked to Odell Black, and he lived out by Columbus Chapel
mm-hmm.
in
right.
73.
Right.
Almost at Cabarrus, and
right.
came into Eddie Jenkins as
right.
well. So, mm-hmm. so how did right. that work? I mean, how... Did you make friends with students on the outside,
oh, yeah.
or because you didn't see each other after school?
You know, but see, the thing about it is, it didn't seem like any barrier. But now, of course, there were plenty. When I was growing up here in Cornelius, in Smithville, there were plenty of kids. One of the families had 9 children, all about my age, and they lived down on the dead end.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the summertime, even though it was mm-hmm. always plenty of kids, and we used to play in the roads.
Mm-hmm.
And on the roads, we played softball, dodgeball, hopscotch, hide and seek, you know, all of those mm-hmm. things outside.
Mm-hmm.
And a buddy of mine, we say that we had such a great childhood growing up here. We didn't really know perhaps how disadvantaged we were. We did not. Because, you know, things were so pretty pleasant.
Yeah.
Right. And we used to be able to play all over the community, bicycles, activities at the community center, all just about every weekend there was something mm-hmm. going on.
Now, were there Boy Scout troops here? I know that Davidson mm-hmm. College, mm-hmm. the YMCA guys, did some Boy Scout troops in the area, and I think they had at least one in Cornelius.
But now in Smithville, there was a man that had a troop for, mm-hmm. I mean, it was like one of the Troop 17 mm-hmm. was the number.
Mm-hmm.
Troop 17 or 18, something like that. And so he was a member of my church and my brothers, mm-hmm. and they had all been active in. But now, as I recall, you know, the Boy Scout troops were all segregated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when we, you know, they used to go to camp, it was a segregated Boy Scout camp. But yeah, we're Boy Scouts. Now, I wasn't as active as my brothers were.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we used to, you know, again, it was rural now. There were mm-hmm. creeks and things like mm-hmm. that we used to go out and dam and play in and swing in trees. Mm-hmm. It was.
You were expected to be outside.
Right.
Come on, so someone called for supper.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people talk about the street lights. So mm-hmm. we grew up without street lights. And I may be jumping the subject. But so I was born in 1946. The Rosenwald School closed in 1952. Because in 1953, I went to Ada Jenkins.
Okay.
And after that,
this is an article in the school,
right?
Yeah,
right. And so other articles on it, but these men,
okay,
started.
Okay, so this is a photograph of a lot of men in business suits.
Well, that's their Sunday suits.
Sunday suits.
Okay, yeah. And that's a big emphasis because they were not
wearing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I'm thinking my dad was probably the most professional. You know, and he was a barber.
Yeah. They're all wearing carnations.
Because
so is this their, what, do they have an official title? Was this a group?
And I also have an article.
Okay. We'll put the picture back in with its slot. Okay.
And I don't need to leave that in there. I'll just take this. So somewhere, and by the way, there was also a women's group too.
Yeah, Davidson, the civic group, did a whole women's civic group. Right. We're the ones who really pushed for street signs, street lights, sanitation.
And that's what these guys did. Okay. But see, and where is my article on them? Did I?
Is it inside behind that?
If not, I may have to print that off for you. Oh, okay. Oh, this is it.
Okay.
And basically, they formed. I have no idea what their inspiration was. Oh yeah. So we didn't have services because Smithville was not in the city limits.
Of Cornelius. So no water, no sewer, no electricity.
Yeah. Right. And so, in fact, I grew up with a toilet, outside toilet. I mean, you know, it changed, but, you know, I remember going to an outside toilet. Mm-hmm. And these men formed for the purpose of doing improvements in the community. Getting running water because people had wells. Mm-hmm. And so they got running water. They owned street lights.
Okay.
They leased the Rosenwald School and made it into a community center, which was, was the heart of not only Smithville, but Davidson, Huntersville, just surrounding black communities. People used to, and they there would be a dance there just about every weekend. And the men, they kind of took turns manning the center, even though there was one particular one that always did it on the weekends. The women, this is my story. Mm-hmm. The women, I thought, were a little more social.
Okay.
You know, and I even had their names.
Okay.
And yes, those are not business suits.
Business, right.
That's interesting that you would say business suits. Those are Sunday suits.
And it could also be because I'm a Quaker and no one wears that to church on Sunday. So I don't think of, we come rather more casually dressed. I don't think of Sunday dress up anymore my best. So,
And the women's names too. Mm-hmm. Okay, now where do I go?
Okay, so we've got you at Ada Jenkins. So you go to school through the eighth grade.
The eighth grade.
There, and then you get to go to Torrance Lytle.
Right. And interesting enough, my class was the last full class at Torrance Lytle. The class after mine, they had a choice. They could go to either North or stay at Torrance Lytle because that was the last year.
How many chose to stay?
I'm not real sure. I think most of them decided to stay. But Patricia... Pat Stinson was in that class, so I talked to her. Mm-hmm. I did talk to her.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
Okay. Later.
Okay. So after that, then I went on to college at Fisk University in Nashville. And one of the reasons I went there, too, is because my oldest brother by then was in medical school. And he was in medical school at Meharry. And Fisk is, the sister school just across the street. And so I lived with him my first year, maybe two. And then after that, I moved on the campus. And then he graduated. And then I moved on the campus, right.
So while you were still like Megha A. Jenkins and Aunt Torrance Lytle. Did you have jobs? Did you have summer jobs?
I did.
What was...
I yeah. did. Well...
So how did this work? I mean, were you expected to, or you just wanted extra money so you started mowing lawns?
My dad made me work. Okay. I shined shoes at the barbershop, as my brother said.
Okay.
Yes, I'm hoping that I might have a picture of the shoe shine stand somewhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I started shining shoes probably when I was 11 or 12.
Okay. And then you graduated to...
Then I got a job at Davidson College.
Oh, that's okay.
I worked in the kitchen my senior year of high school.
Okay.
And with my buddies.
Mm-hmm. So this would have been the student cafeteria that was, I think, in the Evans building, the Union?
Yeah.
It's not there anymore.
It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first time I went to Davidson College, I said, what happened? Where is everything?
There's a big library building on
right.
top of that spot now.
Yeah. But yeah, so wherever that old cafeteria was.
So how did you get there? Did you bike over? Did you have a car?
I used my dad's car.
Okay.
And I picked up the guys that worked with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just carpooled in.
Right.
And so what kind of hours did you?
So we had to go, I think we went after school every day. Just about every day.
Well, you had to study to get into college.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but I did. I started working. Oh, well, like I said, I started working there my senior year in high school. But some of the guys that I worked with were sophomores.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right. Continued through.
Right. Yeah, they worked there for several years, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you decide? Well, you picked a college because your brother was there, but was that an expectation at Torrance Lytle?
Yeah, it was, as well as it was an expectation from my parents. Mm-hmm. I always knew that I was going to go to college, and that's what my parents promoted. Now, my oldest sister went to college. She didn't make it, and then my brother... Yeah. And he was the valedictorian of his class, thus that path set for me. And so he went to North Carolina Central.
Okay.
And like I said, by the time I went to college, he had worked a couple of years, but then he'd always wanted to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. So he went back to medical school. And then the next year I went to Fisk there. Mm-hmm. And I'm really thinking that it was Fisk primarily because he was there. Because otherwise, before that I didn't know anything about Fisk until he went there. And he kind of encouraged me to go there. Of course, then my oldest brother, then Mickey, he's the barber. Mm-hmm. Of course, now Dad may have wanted all of us to be barbers, but I knew that from working at the barber shop and working on Saturdays, I hated working on Saturdays. I was determined. I was determined I wasn't going to do that.
You wanted your weekends.
I wanted my weekends. I'm not gonna be working on Saturdays. And now one of my sisters, the one that's the gap, she is low performing. Mm-hmm. So she's always lived at home, and she still lives in a family home, right? Than me, and then my younger sister. She also went to North Carolina Central, but she was more interested in getting married. And so she went for 2 years, then she got married. Mm-hmm. And she lives in Hickory.
Okay. So you went to college, how was, I mean, because you had your brother, so that gave you some context, but what was it like coming from Cornelius to Fisk?
Goodness. And, what a culture shock. It was. It was absolute. So from being that superlative that I was in high school, I got lost in college. I truly. And then I think too, now my personal opinion, hindsight, I think not living on campus, you know, I've always felt like I kind of lost those initial college experience and some bonding that, you know, most of the other kids developed. But yeah, it was a true shock. Now maybe it was good from an academic standpoint, because I did, you know, again, those first 2 years that I lived with him, I did pretty good.
Oh, because he kept you studying. Right. He was studying, so.
Yeah. So, but after he left, I became the typical college student late. I became that typical college student late. So I did it. It wasn't the greatest experience for me, but
it's been interesting meeting people from different states.
Oh, absolutely.
There was a whole nother.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad I did. And then after college, originally I wanted to major in psychology. That was always my intent. My brother didn't think much of that. He didn't.
Yeah.
Like I said, he was my parents.
Yeah. He was like a parent to you, so.
And he didn't think much of that. And so as a result, those last 2 years in college, I really just kind of floundered,
If you don't have a major you really want, it may be hard to stay engaged in it,
And so I didn't pursue that. And so he says, well, why don't you try law? So I ended up majoring in political science, but I hated it. I mean, even though I'm fairly interested in politics now, but I wasn't interested, and I wasn't interested in law. So as soon as I finished college, I went to work. I was able to get a job. I got a job with a grain manufacturing company right out of Nashville.
Okay.
I went directly from Nashville, to Minneapolis.
That must have been a culture shock.
Absolutely. But
you were young. You wanted an adventure.
Oh, right. Yeah, I did. And so I started grain merchandising. I didn't get it, but I was there. And let me think, how did that work? I graduated, but I got drafted. I got drafted in December of 69. And while I was working in Minneapolis, and then I went to Vietnam.
Okay.
And so when I left Vietnam, I went back to Minneapolis, and then I was transferred with the grain merchandising outfit to Omaha, Nebraska. Oh yeah, what did? If so, why do your eyes cross?
I lived in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
So I grew up on Air Force bases, and we moved to Lincoln, and we were there when the base closed.
Okay.
So it was not really a good time to be there if you were affiliated with the base. But it was also, Nebraska was a culture shock for us.
Oh, okay.
We had come from Arizona and we'd been to Europe, and it was just a little different.
Right. Yeah. Well, interesting enough for me, I did, to this day, I still go back to Omaha about once a year, because I did make connections in Omaha. I mean, I found Midwestern blacks different than Southern blacks. I mean, it was, I said, I thought we were the owners of of Southern hospitality. But these people are much more hospitable than Southerners to me. And so, so I consider Omaha my second home. And so I still go back there, you know, fairly often. I still have close friends there. But after I had been in Omaha with the Green, I left there and went to work for Mutual of Omaha. So which is where I ended up developing my career background. I was, quote, the first group underwriter. Ooh. First black group underwriter in my department. And so I started underwriting. And so that ended up being the basis of my career, you know.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy it.
So what drew you back to Smithfield?
So before that.
The winters?
Before that, I ended up in California.
Oh, okay.
So I went to California, still in insurance, with another insurance company.
Okay.
And I was out there for 12 years. And then I started working on the corporate side, handling the insurance for corporations.
Okay.
So... And then the company I was working for in California was acquired, and I ended up moving from there to Houston, Texas.
Okay.
From there to West Palm Beach, Florida. And but then while I was in Florida, my mom died. And I was home visiting sometimes after that. My dad cried when I left. And so I moved back. So that's why I'm here.
So you've had quite a, you missed Maine and Vermont, but.
Right. I went all the way across. I never went north. Yeah, I did. Well, not northeast anyway.
So when did you come back?
I came back here in 97.
Okay.
Well, December 98.
Okay. And then when did you get involved in the whole Smithfield community? What's your.
And I went to work here. Yeah, I did work, but I was, you know, taking care of my dad. Mm-hmm. But
were you working out of Charlotte?
I was working in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Right. Still back, back handling the insurance for Carolina's Healthcare.
Okay.
And, but, you know, I still kind of started getting involved in the community because, again, that's what my dad did.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came back, it was obvious to me how everything had grown right here around the community, except my community.
Okay, yeah, so Cornelius is spreading across the lake. I-77 has
gone
through now.
Right.
Yeah.
And as all these developments just squeezing Smithfield in, and, and I see all this, quote, prosperity outside of it, but I don't see any of it here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this was area that my dad took pride in. So I didn't feel like I was just gonna lay down and
see it
happen.
Just, yeah.
Even though I'm at that point now, I'm very discouraged because I do feel. There's such, I don't know if I want to call it kind of a head in the sand attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't want to change.
Mm-hmm. It has always been an interesting, and there was a student who did a thesis for a history class years before I got here, on Davidson and the town and the African American community and why during the Civil Rights era there was almost nothing happened.
Right.
You know, and a good part of it is that people worked for the college and nothing was happening at the college and didn't. And there's never been sort of the personality minister in town. Logan Houston was the closest, I'm getting the name wrong, Calvin Houston. But there weren't really people, there never seemed to be that level of civic engagement.
Right.
And there's sort of this very low-key approach, so that every once in a while groups form, things happen, but there's not an overall sense of agency of sort of taking, standing up and saying, wait, we can do this. And there's never, I think it may be more different here, but
different where?
In Smithfield to Davidson, in that there have not been new families moving in. You've seen the black population, you know, families, kids grow up, they move, they go to Atlanta, they go someplace, and they don't come
back.
They
move out.
They move out, but and you're not seeing a whole lot of people moving into the neighborhood to well, I guess because you said it was built in the 70s, because that's when Lakeside was built in Davidson. There was in the 60s and the 70s, there were housing built on the west side of Davidson.
Right.
But those have just sort of stayed there,
They've
not...
Right.
There's not been, and there's not been a middle-class black population.
Right.
You know, there's not many working for the college, you know, the faculty, I mean, all
of
that that might bring in another community that would, they could piggyback on. So, and the same thing, I think, happens to the mill workers as well. You know, the population of people who were white mill workers as the mills went away, they just sort of disappeared.
Right. Well, now... In the 70s, when these when this neighborhood was developed, that's where most of the people were. They worked at the mills, with the exception, you know. Now, I have a cousin down the street. She's a school teacher. Of course, Nan was a school teacher. But, you know, I mean, there's not... There's not any other really professional people around it because people, they don't come back. They move out. They move out and they don't come back. And, you know, and if I talk to my brother too long, I can get annoyed with him because his attitudes and values are so different. What?
Get on board here.
I mean, you know, and the thing about it, Nan was, you know, really
Nanny Potts. She was mayor.
Absolutely, she was. She's my sister-in-law, right? Yes, and she was really, you know, outspoken in her own way, but you know, at the same time, well respected. But again, I think that was in her blood. You know, Calvin's her brother. Logan, her dad, you know, and they were, you know, kind of the movers and shakers in Davidson, you know, you know what I mean by that, okay.
They were the most, they were most visible, they were respected.
Right, and so I think, you know, when that's kind of a part of your family, you know, some of the children going to...
You inherited the mantle
and
you took
absolutely.
It on. Let's talk a little bit about your dad. So what he ran the barbershop in town. So he had one of the, and I'm curious about black-owned businesses and also sort of the entrepreneurial spirit of, you might not own a business, but you might be doing, you know, hair in someone's home or, what was it that someone was talking about just last night? What was it? Someone mentioned just a little business on the side, but they weren't necessarily, you didn't have your own building, but you people had small businesses, small.
Well,
and how did your dad get the barbershop? Did he, was it here before him, or how long is that?
Okay, so now I again in
there's the barbershop book,
but I think I have it in the. What book do I have in here? Oh, it's in this one. So in this one, I really try to give some dialogue on that. You know.
So he started from an early age. He owned a shop.
Right. So.
Okay. So he started from 1926.
But there was an old section of Cornelius called Brick Road. You haven't heard it.
Was that the, what's on Catawba, where the barbershop is now?
No.
No, okay. No, no, something over
Croatia. It's actually, it ran along the railroad track.
Okay.
It truly looked like gun smoke.
Okay.
I'm not kidding you.
Wooden sidewalk, yeah. Just
yeah, way. It truly, I may have a picture. That's where it is now, but I think I have a picture in here of what. Oh, I thought I had a picture in here of what gun smoke looked like. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because Odell told me he wasn't allowed to go to Gunsmoke. That was his mother.
No. You know
that's
what?
A different.
Yeah,
that's a different.
You know what? Yeah.
That was in Davidson.
Yeah. Gunsmoke.
So
in
each
Davidson.
Town had their own Gunsmoke.
You know what? I'm calling it Gunsmoke.
Oh, because
it was
locked.
Right,
okay.
But it was
Brick
called
Row.
Brick Row.
Okay.
And actually, by the time I was growing up, my dad was one of the last businesses in this row of business of brick businesses. We had a barbershop, but actually it was owned by a white man.
Okay.
Now, I'm not sure. You might have to have you talk to my brother. But the white man hired Dad to cut hair. What I can't remember is if they cut hair together. That part I don't know about. But I think he's the one who trained Dad.
Okay.
I think. And so somewhere in the 50s, he sold Dad the business on Brick Row.
Okay.
And so so then it became, but I don't think back then it had the name Potts Barbershop, but you know. Mm-hmm. It didn't have Potts Barbershop until it moved to the current location. That was in 1960.
Okay. Where so what happened to Brick Row? Was it demolished?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, demolished, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was...
And how easy was it for a black man to get a business on Main Street in Cornelius in 1960?
Well, it was, as far as I know, you know, because...
people already knew him from the other
absolutely.
Shop.
Absolutely. Yeah, they all knew him, the banker, you know. Mr. Boone mm-hmm. was the president of the bank, who we all knew, mm-hmm. and he knew Wilson. You know, everybody called him Wilson. You know, even the kids all called him Wilson. It wasn't Mr. Potts until much later. Yeah.
The older he gets some dignity.
Yeah, it was much later before they started calling him Mr. Potts, mm-hmm. but it was always Wilson. Mm-hmm. And I remember him getting the business. I remember him, my mother talking about it, but I don't mm-hmm. remember that there was any difficulty with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of other black businesses back then, you know, there have been other people that tried some mm-hmm. things, like the Rivens
mm-hmm. yeah, barbershop, the barbershop,
right?
On,
mm-hmm.
on yeah. Java. Yeah.
You know, it hasn't flourished. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I don't know what that's all. Mm-hmm. You know.
Were there grocery stores here? Did anybody have a
oh,
small
yeah,
store? That
yeah,
you
yeah, yeah. There were. You know, they yeah. were just. They weren't the main places, but there were two stores here, right here in Smithville. Mr. Clem Caldwell had a store. You know, it was, you know.
Yeah, but you got bread and milk. I mean, it was
yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Sodas, yeah. Crackers, peanuts, you know, those yeah. things. And another one was right down the hill. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so but still, people went quote uptown. Mm-hmm. That's what we called Cornelius.
Yes. Uptown.
We called it uptown. I still call it uptown. Uptown. Mm-hmm. And most people used to walk it. A lot of people used to walk, because you know we always had a car. So mm-hmm. sometimes we see people walking. You want to ride? I mean, it's like it was something major.
I'm trying to remember, because when I got here, there were still mills there. So they tore down the one like where the town hall is.
And Food Lion.
Right. So where were the stores? Were they around the mills, just across?
Across the street. And that's, so there was, now, Harris Teeter has always been around.
Harris was in, one of them was in Morrisville originally. I mean,
but there was one right here in Cornelius too. There was a Harris Teeter. What's there now? In the where the ice cream.
Carolina Cones.
Cones. Okay. Just down the street, you know, that that structure that's on the end right there, that's where Harris Teeter used to be.
Okay.
And then there was a Mayhew's. I don't know if you've heard of the Mayhew family. They had a store, and there was another store, but I can't remember the name of it.
So where did you go for movies, for all of that?
So when I grew up, right there in Cornelius, across the railroad track, was one of those theaters where the blacks sat upstairs then the blacks were upstairs and the whites were downstairs. And but it closed real early in my life. But my older brothers, that's where they used to go. But I did go there, but it didn't last long. So then we ended up going to Mooresville. But you'd have to get a ride there.
That's I was sort of wondering if you went focused towards Charlotte or if you went Mooresville more. And of course, you did have the community center here, so that was.
But now we didn't have movies there. Right. Right. It was just mostly dances and things like that at the community center.
Do you remember anything at all about the relationship with the people who worked in the mills, with particularly the white mill kids? In Davidson, there was a real divide between, particularly within the white community, between like the college kids and the lint heads that they were.
The what now?
The lint heads, what they called.
Okay.
And this was like in the 40s, before the mills all started closing down. So this is a little bit, you're a little bit young for that.
Right. You know.
Are you guys aware of each other at all, or?
Yeah, aware, but there was not a lot of interaction. And the thing about it is, at the same time, I can't recall a lot of overt hostility. Things would happen sometimes, but it wasn't. I don't remember it being something constant.
You didn't. Probably didn't enact much. Your sport teams did different things. Your schools did different things.
Right.
So you didn't.
Right. And so, again, and the whole integration thing happened after I left North Carolina.
Yeah.
But I don't remember any real racial tension. Here in Cornelius. The time that I was visiting with Marion Wisnett and Dave Yoakum was with us. And so I think Marion has a little antagonism with Dave. She thinks he's a Yankee and that he's always going to paint things one way or the other. But I think we were emphasizing it was just the way it was.
Yeah. Well, not a whole lot happened here. I mean, short of the picketing of Ralph Johnson's barbershop, no Davidson students got terribly involved in civil rights or Vietnam. Although, other than Joe Howell, but he did the march from John, he had organized a march from Johnson C. Smith downtown. So some Davidson students did it, but there wasn't, I don't get a sense that in this area there was. Anything causing conflict or people sort of raising, if they wanted to, it wasn't happening.
So Nanny, on the other hand, in 1960, mm-hmm. got picked up by the police.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah, she was protesting. She went to Barbara Scotia, on Concord. Mm-hmm. And she was a part of the...
You want to check that?
Yeah. Hey, Dorothy.
Oh.
I'm good. That's a newcomer to the area. But she doesn't live here in Smithfield, but she goes to my church.
So, what else would you want people to know about what you've seen in your lifetime, late 20th century, early 21st century, for this community and this area, including your church,
I think I've already expressed what my concern is my personal concern is the fact that it's the same here as it was 40 years ago. I mean, what's the difference?
How did employment opportunities not change? How has
it did. When the mills were here, mm-hmm. I thought, when I used to visit, mm-hmm. when I used to come back home to visit, and again, this community was new, and there was life mm-hmm. in the community. Now there's not much life. So
is the community aging?
It's aging, mm-hmm. and the young people, and mm-hmm. we talked about them who inherited their homes. They are, millenniums, and they truly don't have, the same values. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are renters, mm-hmm. Or they just don't have the same appreciation mm-hmm. for the community, that I kind of grew up mm-hmm. knowing. And so it's just a deterioration that I'm concerned mm-hmm. about. And I don't know if I feel a lot of hope for the community. Mm-hmm. And everybody mm-hmm. thinks, if you talk. Now, the coalition mm-hmm. did a survey. Mm-hmm. Davidson College students, I told you about that, right?
Uh-uh.
Davidson College mm-hmm. students conducted a survey for us. We've been waiting on that results of that survey.
Do you remember who the faculty member is? I can find them and...
Actually, it was our students. Right.
I bet it was Stacey Reamer. I'll contact Stacey.
You know what? Somewhere in my notes, somewhere, I probably have who it is. But we never actually met an advisor. It was always dealt directly with the students. But they were part of some authorized, they were operating mm-hmm. under the auspices of the college because, mm-hmm. They had to get permission to do these things, right? But, so we conducted the survey, and I'm anxious to see what the residents said, what they feel. But my opinion is that they think that the town is going to just come in and take over and wipe the community out. It's just going to happen. And so it's almost like they are afraid of any type of I'm saying intrusion for the lack of a better word that the town makes is going to disrupt.
Any attention might actually bring in more trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you just got a water park, right? Or didn't the Rotary group was trying to do something for the kids or a little bit of a small park?
But now we don't feel that was for, personally, we were involved. We promoted it, but it's, I continue to say it's not that many kids in the community that it was for. It's just that's for the east side.
Okay.
That's for Cornelius, not so much Smithfield.
Yeah, okay.
But it's in the Smithfield Park. But again, the Smithfield residents don't use the park.
They don't feel comfortable there, or
I yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what has happened to the Rosenwald School? Is it still a community center? Is there any activities out of it?
It's just... No. Yeah, it's just dead. You know, the family that bought it, none of them live here. They don't seem to have a lot of interest. Mm-hmm. And it's deteriorated itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes, you have to have one person who's loves it to keep it going. Right. And when you lose those people, it's hard to...
Yeah, and so Lisa and I, are really the only ones who've been trying to do it. You know, and unfortunately, by the time that I started working, Nan's health had already started to decline. Because, she maybe have been able to be more effective than Lisa and I have been able to do, but we haven't been able to get the community to rally behind us. Mm-hmm. When they once, seriously, it's almost toxic from the standpoint, when they want something, they'll come to us, but... in terms of just being proactive about things, that's not the case. So those are my concerns. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that, these men and, that they had a vision.
Yeah, and that they tried to create a community and resources for the community.
Absolutely.
And they were successful. I mean, your classmates went to college. I mean, they created this piece.
Right.
But,
right.
And I think, I know in Davidson, you could see a shift when Ada Jenkins closed and when the schools, you didn't have that cohesion, have the family connections, and the camp, it's like with that empty building there, something dissolved.
Right.
And the next generation wasn't going to colleges at the same rate.
Absolutely.
It was just this sort of a...
Right.
Not what you would have expected to have happen, or what anyone intended to, but communities needing to have some kind of social core, some kind of identity and shared aspirations.
Right. I agree. And, we have tried, we've actually talked to Wells Fargo. Mm-hmm. We met with their community outreach about them purchasing the center for us and helping us revitalize it, And they kind of expressed an interest, but nothing has come of it. And realizing that if we could, get that, revitalized too, that would help.
Yeah, the focus to the community, something that would keep them going.
Let me show you the Smithfield Community Coalition's
We'll look at this notebook. Okay, all right. Vision. Revitalize and transform our community into a vibrant, safe, and attractive place to live and work that builds pride in its residents and attracts new developments of affordable homes, businesses, focusing on empowering all individuals and strengthening families. Mission to serve as a focal point to rally the community, local faith-based organizations, and nonprofit entities to achieve the vision and put God's love into action. Now, when was this formed?
This particular restatement of it was in 2011.
Okay, but this is 2007, so there was an association working at least then.
Again, that's when we kind of started it again, but it didn't make it, so we started it again. But again, the original organization, which was started by these men, was, now, this, it was incorporated in 1968.
Okay, wow,
yeah.
But clearly, that's before 1968, that it did.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and I see this, and as an archivist, there are lots of organizations that, like the civic organization in Davidson, the women were very active.
Okay.
At the turn of the 20th century, up through, and then by the 1930s, had sort of devolved into more social, and people were engaged in their schools because they had kids in the school, but they weren't looking at the community as a whole. So you saw that sort of fragment in the group just disappear.
Okay.
And I don't think there's anything you know, there's the garden club that keeps Davidson's downtown looking pretty, and you know, there are people who are active, and there's now there's the Lands Coalition, and there's PTAs,
right?
And you just don't see.
But are there PTAs now?
There are still PTAs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, those are things mm-hmm. that our parents and were involved in.
But the other thing in Davidson, in the last decade, the number of elementary schools has just grown exponentially. All sorts of private schools
right.
and charter schools.
Right.
So
right.
at one time, Davidson Elementary practically had a waiting list, and now they're down. But there are just dozens, and kids live on the same block and go to different schools.
I see.
I know
right.
at least two faculty children who grew up in the same school, ended up at the same college, and they didn't know each other.
Oh, really?
They had gone to different high schools and different schools all through their lives, and they never really interacted.
At Davidson?
Yeah, even in Davidson.
Really?
They could live in the same neighborhood, but one of them's going to Providence Day, one of them's going to Cannon.
Well,
somebody's
okay.
going, and they just...
And see, none of that existed, you know, when I was growing up.
Yeah. You only had one, you know, you had one right. school, and then you had
right.
two. You had North,
right.
you had
right.
North Mech, but you didn't
right.
have...
right.
So there are lots of things that pull communities
right.
apart.
Right.
And not as many things that... pull
bring
people
us
together,
together,
bring us
right.
together and say,
right.
hey, let's do this activity,
right.
let's do this.
Right. Well,
anyway.
And I guess that, and again, coming back to even my church, and now mm-hmm. we do have a new minister, and I do, you know, I feel like, mm-hmm. you know, he has the potential to help us to.
Because mm-hmm. You're at Torrance Chapel?
Torrance Chapel, yeah. right.
And that's sort of the mother church for around here, right?
I mean, right.
Mm-hmm. They certainly founded Reese
right.
Temple and
right.
some of the others.
Union
so
Bellevue,
you know, yeah.
right. The people came from mm-hmm. Torrance Chapel. And now, do you know where it is? Do you
yeah.
want okay.
Yeah, I know where, yeah.
Okay, okay. Now, do you want me to show you around at all? The Smithfield community?
Yeah, let's turn this off so we're not going to, it's too weird when you're recording and... this house
you're like, oh yeah right
online
right
so,
no this, it'll take 5 minutes
okay
I mean if that long
yeah.
I just want to show you how it's deteriorated
yeah.
For example there are lots vacant lots now where there were homes when I was growing up I mean
yeah and they were turning them into gardens or using them for anything
oh right
just, yeah
right you know plenty of vacant lots. Several vacant homes, again, a part of that deterioration. And then homes, like this home is probably, I bet that home is well over 100 years old.
Wow.
I know it's at least 100 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could have been built in 19-teens. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Right. In fact, I've seen the deed on it. I have no idea where it is now. Long time ago, I ran across it because that was also a relative's.
Okay. Okay.
Well, what do you,
okay.
I mean,
so,
I
thank you
I'm
very
so,
much.
I'm
gonna,
sorry.
Gonna,
I know
no.
I've been all over the place.
Well, that's perfectly normal, and that's. Well, it makes it difficult for anyone who's listening to this. That's why we do transcripts so that people can find them. It actually, for me, shows how things ties together.
Okay,
yeah.
How can
it's
you
really,
organize all that? I'm talking about you.
You. I know, it's not easy. But that's what I do. My job is to gather up stuff and sort of find ways to describe it and make it available and then have people use it in different ways. So.
Maybe you can help me because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's why I've tried to start collecting these
mm-hmm.
binders. But I'll
mm-hmm.
go at it for a while, then I'll, you know, kind of lose
yeah.
interest or get involved in something else. But yeah, maybe you can help
mm-hmm.
me figure
yeah.
out how to start archiving
yes,
and you know, collecting it from history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Glad to help. Okay.
Okay.
I'm gonna